Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's come to God in prayer as we come to his word together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, giver of all that is good, we thank you for the giving of your Son, for his laying down of his own life so that we might live, for the forgiveness of our sins and the boldness and freedom of our approach to your very throne that has been made possible by his sacrifice. We thank you for the power in our lives given to us through his Spirit by his resurrection, and that he ever lives to make intercession for us as our great high priest. Bless us now, we pray, as we look at your word, and help us to understand it, speak into our lives, form our minds and our thoughts, control our actions and our deeds, so that they glorify Jesus. Amen. So we're at the end of this adventurous episode in the life of Abraham, and we're reading from Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. After Abraham returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abraham rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Anah, Eshcol and Mamre. Let them have their share." So at the end of this massive war, and let's be under no misgivings here, this is a massive war. This was a multi-year event. It was caused by the rebellion against the rule of Chedorlaomer by these four kings, these Canaanite kings. And we saw just a few days ago the battle ensued between the four kings and the five kings who were allied under Chedorlaomer, and that the Chedorlaomer crew won the battle, took off everything in Sodom, including Lot and all his possessions, vast possessions that he had. And Abraham, as he was then, goes to the rescue and redeems everything that had been carried off into captivity. So this event occurs after Chedorlaomer's defeat. So we've seen the battle of four kings against five, the intrigue of the Canaanites and their being ruled and living in captivity under the sway of this great king of the time. Nine kings in all then, but here is the message: there is a tenth king. This mysterious figure called Melchizedek, who is, we're told, the king of Salem. If you want to know a lot more about him, read Hebrews chapter 7. The writer to the Hebrews actually tells us quite a bit of information about him, this tenth king. We see that he's not involved in this dispute between the four and the five. He keeps himself away from this battle. But it is to him that Abraham defers. And we need to ask why. Well, poaching from Hebrews chapter 7, we see that he is king, first of all, of Salem, and the word Salem means peace. Probably the precedent of the place called Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So he is the king of peace, And then we see that his name means the King of Righteousness. We see that he is called the Priest of God Most High. And unlike the Levitical priesthood, this priesthood has no indicated beginning or end. It's not something that is inherited by descendancy amongst the priests, as the Levitical priesthood was. And so the writer to the Hebrews points out that his order of priesthood is different. And indeed, this is the precise precursor to the priesthood of Jesus. And later in the Psalms, we're told that God has appointed his Christ, his Messiah, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Abraham knows who he is. He is a priest of God Most High, the very God that Abraham himself serves, the God who has called him out of pagan country to give him the land of Canaan. And Abraham, well, he blesses Abraham, this Melchizedek, in the name of God Most High. And he indicates that he is aware that Abraham is God's tool and that God has used him to deliver him and his from his enemies. The king of Sodom comes in on the deal and he tries to say to Abraham, well, just give me the people, keep all of the possessions, all of the spoil for yourselves. Just let me go back to Sodom, the town of Sodom, with the people. And Abraham defers again, or refuses rather, to actually accept anything from the king of Sodom's hand. So here we have this intrigue between the nine kings, the four and the five, the battle that commenced, that was respectively won and then lost and then won by the king of Sodom. And we have this gratitude which indicates to Abraham, well, just take the results of your deliverance, just benefit yourself from this. And Abraham refuses. So he defers to the 10th king, but he refuses the 9th king. And here is the message for us. In this world of ours, we live in a land which is controlled by sinners, and we need to be under no illusion that that is so. We are told that the Canaanites had been sinning greatly against God. So whatever this dispute involved, whatever the rights and the wrongs of it, Abraham would not align himself completely with either side. He delivered the captives because Lot was among them, and Lot was a righteous man. We're told that in the New Testament. So what is the word for us today? Well, first of all, it is this: which king will you honour? The kings of the earth, or the king who is the priest of God Most High? Because Jesus is that for us, is he not? He is the kingly priest. He is the priestly king, the only one we will ever need. But I think there's another lesson, and this must have been a real lesson to Lot. Little did he learn from it. Because Lot had by this time moved into Sodom itself, living in the township, the city of Sodom. He'd moved from pitching his tent next to, as Tony told us, into the town itself, and his family was now living inside of Sodom. Would not this have been a warning by God that if you pitch your tent here, Lot, if you hitch your boat to this one, you're going to incur all that comes upon them? And perhaps we need to know, in this land of ours, where Christians are persuaded to follow this cause or that cause, to commit themselves to this school of politics or the other, that all of these schools of men, all of these systems are devised by sinful men who are under God's hand of judgment. And no one cause will be 100% holy or righteous. Therefore, we cannot afford to chain our hearts to these causes. We have one cause, and it is the King of Heaven, the Son of God himself, who God has sent into our world. We have one high priest, and it is Jesus, who has laid down his life for us and ever lives to make intercession for us. So here is the word for you, brother, sister in Christ today. Don't go following 100% after the causes of men. You may decide there is One particular call that actually deserves your attention and deserves your allegiance, that's fine. Do it prayerfully, do it considerately, and come bring it before God continually so. But don't ever chain your heart to the cause of man, because that will always be less than it should be. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I will accept nothing belonging to you. And yet he gave a tenth of all that he had to the king of Salem, to this priest of God Most High. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for wholehearted allegiance to Jesus alone, for he is Lord of our life and there is none other. And even though it might seem that the causes of men are worthwhile and just and right, and we may follow them to some extent, we can never give ourselves wholeheartedly to them, for we recognize that even though they are good, they may be godless. And we want to give praise and honor to the one who has given himself for us. So may we live all out for him today, to his glory. Amen.